Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Hello. How was BlizzCon? Am I right? Look at that.
Freaking amazing.
We're back. We missed a week. Jocelyn was at BlizzCon. Ryan was not at BlizzCon. He was just so
I think we should talk about upset. That a little more, about how much I was at BlizzCon and how much you weren't at BlizzCon.
It was like binary. You were one, I was zero, and like,
I like
at
that
BlizzCon,
score.
Not at BlizzCon. it's close battle, but well, you know, I haven't even had time to go through a majority of the virtual ticket in my time.
I need to remember that I need to watch that, because there's so much stuff that happened that I feel like I missed out on. I posted on Facebook. I was just like, I feel like I saw everything and missed everything all at the same time with all my favorite people. Like, it was just, I think, and I mentioned this to a couple of different CMs and a couple of different devs, and I thought they were going to murder me, but I really think they need to make it more than 2 days. It needs to be like 3 days or possibly even four, because, I mean, when they used to do a two-day BlizzCon, Warcraft was really like their one big thing, right? Like, Diablo 3 wasn't out yet, you know, StarCraft 2 had only just really kind of started and everything else. Like, Warcraft was their big thing, so it took up most of the time. But now, I mean, not so much Diablo, but I mean, Heroes is huge. Hearthstone's huge. Like, their esports, StarCraft, oh my god, dude. I haven't even posted most of my pictures, but the StarCraft stage was like a freaking football stadium. It was ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Oh, man. Crazy. I haven't had a chance to watch any of the esports stuff, but I did see the Hearthstone stage, and it looked
amazing.
Like,
did you actually get to watch it? Because, like, Dills and I were sitting literally front row center for, like, the finals and everything else. Like, you can see the back of my head in most of the crowd shots.
Nice. I did not get a chance to watch any of the esports stuff, but I am going to, you know what? I'm going to make a point of watching at least maybe the semifinals and finals of all the esports stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe just the finals of StarCraft, just to see.
Yeah, there were some amazing StarCraft games, just judging by, like, the talk around the con and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone was just freaking out. I mean, the Hearthstone games were amazing. Like, just so much energy in that place. It was incredible. Like, I think we probably slept 4 hours a night, maybe. Like, we were just, we were up super late. We were just, you know, like, there's so much energy and buzz and fun. Man, it was the most incredible experience of my life. Like, I cannot say enough about BlizzCon. Like, I will never, ever miss another one again. And we should mention, my very, very first BlizzCon, Blizzard announces a new IP for the first time in 17 years.
Nailed it. It's like, Jocelyn's going to be here. Let's do this.
You got to do something big, because Jocelyn's coming.
Of course. Let's give her Overwatch. Let's give her plenty of awesome female characters. Let's give her some awesome gorilla characters. Whoops,
yes,
sorry, keyboard.
Up until now, gorillas have been sorely underrepresented in video games. I've been really upset about that. But this time, I mean, there's a gorilla. He's a main character. He's got these super sweet glasses. So, you know, he's kind of nerdy.
Yeah. I mean, we all know Gamergate is about ethics and journalism. But
absolutely.
You know, this, I think there needs to be a Gorilla Gate. And I think I think Winston should be at the forefront.
Yeah.
And Beast should be in the corner just pouting because he didn't think of it first.
He's not technically a
gorilla. Well, no, but he is a scientist, looks like an animal, and has weird little glasses.
That's true.
But the other great thing about Overwatch that I thought was amazing was it's based on, in the real world, with countries where heroes represent their countries, and not a single American hero.
True.
Announced, sorry.
Announced, yeah. There's quite a few. I have a poster somewhere.
Oh, nice.
I still haven't fully unpacked. Like, this last week's been intense.
Yeah.
But I have a poster somewhere of, like, the full cast of Overwatch, because basically they brought enough characters to be playable to have everybody on two teams, because it's 6v6. Mm-hmm. So everybody on both teams could be a different hero if they wanted to. So they brought 12. But there are so many more that we haven't even seen yet. There's a dude with, like, I was going to say, like, light swords, but that sounds too close to lightsabers, and they're not really lightsabers. But it's just like, oh, man, there's that dude. There's, like, some guy who looks like he's, like, a country western type person, which is maybe the American hero, maybe. But,
maybe.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There's, like,
There's one from Egypt. But there's a couple that don't have countries of origin. Mm-hmm. Like Reaper does not. But I mean, it opens the doors to so many amazing things. Like, I don't know, having a Canadian hero and having them do it justice rather than just like putting a hockey player in there, having a couple maple syrup jokes, and you're good to go. Like, they're being very serious about representing each of these countries. And there's the one purple sniper is from France.
Yes, yeah.
She must have ate really bad cheese. And then you've got like the...
I think she's like the Widowmaker maybe, yeah, or something like that. I can't remember exactly her name, but...
I think it is, sorry. Widowmaker. And then you got Tracer from England, and I'm all over this. I think this is like...
Everyone freaking loves her. Oh. Like, they made such a good decision making her like the kind of poster child for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had a little collectible... Well, not little. I mean, it was probably like a foot high maybe.
Sure.
Like limited edition collectible statue thing, and it was the only thing that was there for Overwatch in terms of like collectibles, other than t-shirts. Mm-hmm. And... it was like pre-order only, and it was, I think, $300 or $400 or something like that.
Well, they have it up on the store now for $150.
Okay, maybe I'm just exaggerating then. I didn't actually look at the price tag. I was just like, there's no way I'm going to be able to afford that.
You don't even want to bother.
It's so cool. It looks so cool, and I love that she's like this super cool. She's got an awesome backstory that's like way rooted in like science, and it's really interesting that it's like not – future science. It's like they're trying to make the game feel like it's within your lifetime sort of thing, but still futuristic. So it's like very, very near future. It's so cool.
Yeah. No, I only saw the panel, the trailer, and the panel included like a little like shoutcast match where they kind of showed how a match would flow. And
I
mean, Smite, your days are counting, man. Like, I don't know. This is looking like it could be a nice replacement. Not replacement. Not that Smite needs to be replaced. But if we were to do all Blizzard games, and just kind of shuffle Smite off to the side. Smite's great. But the polishing on Overwatch is just... And it's in beta.
Yeah. It doesn't... It's not... is it even... It's not even in beta.
Well, it's it's internal alpha, probably.
Mm-hmm. But it feels very... It's like every... every British game, every Blizzard game, it feels very, very, very polished.
Yes.
There were some things, like, I think it's just because I'm so used to playing Smite that when I sat down to play Overwatch, like, the key bindings were kind of funny, and I kept trying to hit, like, 1, 2, 3, 4 for my abilities, and nothing was happening, so I was just getting completely owned. Plus, we went to play when Metallica was playing, so it was basically the end of the con. And everyone we were playing against had clearly been through the queue like many, many times because they were like knew all the spots to camp. And we were just like, what happens when I press Q? Dead.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, it was definitely, it's not the place where you go to learn how to play a game. And if you don't have a lot of experience in like shooters or like TF2 or all that kind of stuff, then you're going to have a bad time. Mm-hmm. But, I really think once they get it a little bit more polished and if they let me change my key bindings, it could definitely be. And I don't want to say it's a Smite replacement because it's not. It's totally different.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean that. I just meant like I play
Josh
one.
In the chat room saying, you don't replace Smite.
You don't. But Josh in the chat room, as we like to call him, I only have time for one multiplayer sort of like get in, get out game. And I don't know if I can split my attention.
Yeah, you can.
All right, fine. You twist my arm. Like, no. I said I wasn't going to be able to get back into World of Warcraft. And
here you are on a raid team and everything with a garrison.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my, the garrison. Okay, we'll get to that.
We'll get to Warlords.
I want to hear about what heroes did you play quickly before we go?
So I played, I think his name is like Hanzo or something. Ooh. He's an archer, which, you know, generally is what I kind of gravitate to. I also played the medic. Mercy, that's her name.
She looks cool.
She was pretty cool. I did the best with her. I think what I'm really the most excited about for Overwatch is the fact that it's not just, you know, go kill as many people as fast as possible. It's like there are objectives and there are support classes. And that is something that I'm really excited about because I tend to, in Smite specifically, enjoy playing those support classes. So, you know, the healers, the people that buff other players. And she really fits that role because she can either heal or buff. Hmm. And I really like that I can switch between, like, if no one needs healing, it's not like my job is over, you know? I still have something to do because I can just hit a button, switch my gun, and then all of a sudden my healing ray turns into a damage buff. So now my team is doing more damage than they were before, and I can switch back and forth at any time. And it's like, it keeps it interesting. It keeps giving me something to do as opposed to just sitting there and waiting and, oh, now you're taking damage, so heals. And, oh, now you're taking damage, so heals. It's like, okay, you're taking damage, so I'm going to heal, and then I'm going to switch, and then I'm going to buff this dude because he's our biggest damage dealer. So now he's doing twice the damage, and then, oh, no, somebody's going to die. So, oh, switch back to heals. And it's way more exciting and dynamic, and there's always something going on that I can contribute to.
Sure.
So yeah, Mercy was freaking awesome. I liked the Archer, but my problem was in that match, and I think that these are kind of the things that Blizzard's going to be looking for feedback on, but there's like this pillar right outside of where you spawn. And then, so basically what was happening is our team was dying, and one of the Archer's abilities is he can kind of like scramble up walls. Mm-hmm. So this guy on the other team had scrambled up the pillar and was like, just behind a little bit from where the door was to our spawn room. Mm. And so he was literally just sniping us. And so we'd die, we'd respawn, we'd run out the door and we'd die. And then we'd respawn and we'd run out the door and die. And there was nowhere else that you could possibly go. You had to come out this door and you couldn't go straight, you couldn't go left, you had to go right. And then it basically like opened up into this big courtyard thing. Mm-hmm. So you were just completely exposed. And I couldn't get spun around fast enough and charge up my shot because he was just sitting there, right? Mm-hmm. So he's sitting there charging up his shot while I'm running out and trying to turn around. So it got to the point where I was just like, okay, this isn't fun anymore. Mm-hmm. So, but the really cool thing about Overwatch is you can switch your heroes on the fly. So in Smite, you're stuck. If you pick, say, Kali, then you're stuck with her for the entire duration of the match. In Overwatch, you can switch your character anytime you respawn. So if, say, we'd been all melee characters in that situation, we could have all switched to ranged, gone out at the same time, and just had at that Archer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, it makes the game so much more dynamic and cool. So
cool.
I really love what they're doing with Overwatch. And when they first put up the trailer, I just, like, I was, like, totally silent through the whole thing. And I was just like, and then it finished. And, like, all the lights go down, and then they come back up on Chris Metzen, and I just turned to Dills, and I was like, are you ready to get fucking hardcore into this game? Because I'm going to get so hardcore into this game.
Whoa! Go on now.
Like, this is amazing.
Let's go line up right now.
Right now.
Just smashes whatever she had in her hand. Exactly. Hopefully she wasn't live tweeting the event.
Hardcore right now! Boom!
And the other great thing about Overwatch is that it is super tailored to being ported to the consoles, and we've seen
so much fun with the controller. Oh
yeah,
man. And oh man,
yeah, like you see what they did with Hearthstone in how everyone's like, yes, that is a tablet game. Please give it to us, and Blizzard did. So I don't see why there'd be any argument as to whether Blizzard will put this on consoles eventually.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a different beast when you compare card games to a first-person arena shooter.
Right.
But I still can't wait to see what they do with this game. And Blizzard, no, I'm not going to jinx it. I'm not even going to say anything, but I will spell it out, please, BETA, for me. Because I feel like if I say it out loud, they just won't give it to me.
Oh.
Did I spell it right?
You did. Okay. I was just really, really slow on the uptake there. I was like, beat it for you? Well, then where's the fun?
I hope Blizzard also didn't understand and they don't know how to rewind, because then they won't make a note not to give it to me.
Well, you never know. And I'm sure that the rollout of this beta is probably going to be the same as other games have been. Although Hearthstone was a North America beta, so maybe they've learned something with Heroes, because we, like, anyone out of the States was not allowed in the Heroes beta for a really long time, and that didn't really go over too well. Although that was an alpha, so maybe since they're waiting till 2015 for the beta of Overwatch, maybe they're going to do it differently because it's straight up beta. Yes. We'll see, though. I mean, I'm sure we'll get in eventually and we'll have a ton of fun because it was really, really fun. But yeah, man, I want to either play with the controller or change those key bindings because it was like Shift, Q, and E were my abilities. And I was like, that's just... Yeah, I was like, nope, don't like this. Dislike, dislike, dislike.
Shift. You know what? Give me one, two. I know with 1, 2, 3, 4, you have to take your hands. That's the thing. You have to take your hands off the forward momentum. But yeah, I'm pretty sure they'll let you change key bindings. Do they let you change key bindings in Heroes?
I don't know.
Because that would be a good. I know you can change them in WoW and probably Diablo.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Anyway, so yeah, Overwatch was amazing. It was super fun. I'm glad I got hands-on. The other thing I got hands-on with was Goblins versus Gnomes.
GVG. I see that on Twitter all the time, and it totally confuses me. I'm like, what are they talking about? Oh, right.
Yeah,
Gnomes versus Goblins.
I'm so excited. It's so much fun. We did a live Angry Chicken from BlizzCon, so if you guys haven't gone and listened to that yet... It was kind of the crazy, crazy overload of information that we were getting at that time. So if you guys are really interested to know like what we thought about new cards and just the experience that we had at BlizzCon, then absolutely go listen to that live Angry Chicken. It's been posted for about a week now. The cards and the Easter Bunny in the chat room is correct. Those cards are hella fun.
Sweet.
I'm really excited for the expansion because there's a lot of RNG in it. And I really liked what Ben Brode said at the actual Hearthstone, like the Fireside Gathering, basically the panel that they did.
RNG being random something?
Random number generator is basically the engine that drives the randomness in the game. Okay. So, you know, it'll say things like do 4 damage to a random enemy minion, you know, summon a random legendary, you know, all these kind of things that are just, it's the random part of the game. And basically what Ben said was he was like, look, everyone says that randomness takes the skill out of the game. And he's like, but it's not so much of a continuum between, you know, like random and skill. He said, you know, basically the best players are the players that deal with the random the best. So there's current random stuff that goes on in the game, but this expansion definitely highlights the random. It's a really, really big part. Like Death Rattle was for Naxx, randomness is for Goblins versus Gnomes because it's just the whole theme is all of these inventions and, you know, like the goblins and the gnomes and all the stuff that they make in WoW is always exploding. And, you know, like there's a lot of explosions in this expansion. It's really, really, really interesting. And so basically he just said, you know, the players that deal with the randomness the best are the players with the most skill, and those are the players that you see, you know, at the top of the ladder and everything else. And so it's just really, 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 really cool. And I love the attitude that they're taking with it because, I mean, a card game, you have the randomness from basically the card draw. Just, you know, it's random every time what card you're going to draw. But if that's the only thing that ever changes in a game is what order you pull cards in, it's going to get pretty stale pretty quickly. So this infusion of cards, it's like, excuse me, sorry. It's like 120. I still haven't fully gotten my voice back from BlizzCon yet.
It's because you never stop podcasting and talking.
Yeah, and you don't actually talk at, like, regular kind of levels because you're always in rooms with tons of other people that are talking, so you're always pretty much shouting at each other.
Yeah, just you're club talking, you know?
Exactly, it's club talking. What? 4 days.
I'm going to go play Goblins versus Gnomes.
Yeah.
You're going to go goblin the what?
Yeah, like, come exactly. on. So, yeah, my voice
looked loud.
Shot for the whole week, but... It was definitely worthwhile.
How did they let you play Goblins versus Gnomes? Was it like just play it, or was it a subset? Or
what they did was they had iPads set up that had two decks. Well, and sorry, iPads were up in the press area. The main floor had actual computers set up.
Ooh, were you press area?
Maybe
fancy. I didn't know that. No wonder I didn't see any wait. No, I didn't watch enough virtual ticket stuff, but that's pretty cool. I shouldn't have asked that.
So anyways, they had iPads set up and they had a pre-made goblin deck and a pre-made gnome deck. So the mage played with goblins and the priest played with gnomes, I think. Yeah, that's right. And so basically you could play like goblins versus goblins or gnomes versus gnomes or goblin versus gnome. But they were pre-made decks and you only had those two options. So it was really locked down. They only had the cards that they'd already announced. There wasn't anything like super crazy in there. They've only announced about 20 or 25 cards, I think. There hasn't been a huge announcement of everything, and there's 120 cards that are going to be available. We're also not getting them on a set rollout like we did with Nax. So Nax, you got a specific set of cards each week as long as you went in and beat the boss. In this case, they're rolling it out the same as they did the original Hearthstone cards, in that you're going to get packs and what you get is random and you just have to build your collection. And I'm really excited about that because I think it's going to be really interesting in the meta, because we're going to see things where, like, you have 10 certain cards and I have a totally different set of 10 cards that I've opened in a couple of packs. And so it's not like we're going to see these big shifts. Like with Nax, everyone got Undertaker. And then all of a sudden, Undertaker Death Rattle decks are everywhere. Mm-hmm. But if I get something like Undertaker and Goblins versus Gnomes and you don't, or vice versa, you know, like it's just, it's going to mix everything up so much. I think we're going to see a lot of innovation. I think we're going to see big swings in the meta. And I'm so excited for that. Like, the 120 cards is so many. I mean, Nax shaked it up like crazy, and that was only like 30 cards. So we're going to have four times the cards released in an entirely different way, and it's just going to be amazing what we're going to see out of this expansion. Like, I just and it's coming in a month. That's a big thing.
December is in 15 days.
I know. Yeah. I really think that we're probably going to get it the Tuesday before New Year's. I think that they're going to release it just before the start of a new season.
Right.
I think they released on a Tuesday, so I think we're going to get it December 30th.
If they released it December 1st?
I don't think that they will. I really think that they're going to do the release on a Tuesday, and I really think that it's going to be just before a new season. And so, I don't see us getting it for December 1st. I see us getting it for January 1st. So
doesn't Blizzard go on vacation, though? Like, that's primetime holiday season right there.
That's true. It is primetime holiday season, but, the end of November is also American Thanksgiving. So
okay, so you're saying last week of December. I'll say.
You really think first week? So you're gonna go first week. I'm gonna go last week.
See,
really?
That's you make it. As soon as I said first week, it's like that's primetime Thanksgiving. And if I've seen enough movies, I know that they take Thanksgiving way more seriously than they do Christmas. So maybe second week of December.
So you think we're going to get it in the middle of a season? Because that's my big thing, is I
Does
really
that
don't think
matter?
That they're going to do it. Like, I feel like they're going to keep their seasons consistent, since ranking up to Legend actually has an impact, because people who rank up to Legend, at least what they did this year, was anyone in the top 16 got a shot at BlizzCon, and the prize at BlizzCon was like $150,000 or something for whoever came first. Like, there's huge money on the line.
Right.
And if they want to be a legitimate esport, then they need to make sure that their seasons remain consistent. They can't make huge changes right in the middle of a season. So I really think we're either looking at December 1st or January 1st. And given Blizzard, you know, soon TM, all that kind of stuff, like, they make sure that it is ready to go. And I don't think it's going to be ready to go to their standards 15 days from now.
I don't know. It seems like they've been working hard on it since July, right? So... Or probably earlier than that.
Yeah, they have been, and it was really kind of cool to see them talk about that. How, you know, they're when we're just getting Nax and we're super excited about Nax, they're already done designing Goblins versus Gnomes, and it's just like to see that development cycle, to know the things that they know so far in advance, and really get a kind of window into that world. It's just like, man. like, they know so many things, and especially where, you know, like, we talk to Ben Brode, we talk to Yang Wu, who are both super freaking awesome in person, by the way. It's just really, 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 really cool. And to know that they just keep all of that stuff under wraps all the time, no matter who they talk to, how much press they talk to, it's just like, oh, man, I would not be able to work for them, because I would not be able to keep that poker face. I'd just be like, guys, Guess what's coming? I can't tell you, but you can guess. Wink.
I'm not going. I'm just going to put this mask on that looks like those WoW masks. Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's a really good point about seasons, like the chat room's saying. It's a very good point. And if they hadn't said December, 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 like, I would have said, like you said, like, January, like, early January. But December's such a weird time to launch, considering it's so filled with holidays. Like, do we know when they launched Nax?
Oh, like, man.
That was late July.
Yeah. So. I can't remember the exact date.
It was Canada Day, wasn't it? Like we were talking.
Did we have Nax when we were in Nurtacular?
No.
I'm 99% sure it launched with the beginning of the August season. Like, it was like kind of the, again, it was like a couple of days before August technically started.
You know what? You're probably right.
I really think that that's what we're going to end up with, is we're going to get technically a December launch because it's going to be like December 30th, but I think it's going to be the kind of Tuesday right before the start of the January season. Well,
I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm kissing at midnight. My iPad. Sorry, Ashley.
Yeah. Priorities, right?
Right.
Priorities.
Well, you say GBG is that good, so...
It's really, 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 really good. And yeah, and Berserker Gnome's right. Dills guessed mid-July, and he was wrong. So
he's
never
going to live that down. Poor Dills.
No, never, never, ever. Yeah, normally he knows all the things. He's the great predictor, but no, he got Nax wrong. So
does he agree with you then for the end of December?
I'm actually not sure. I should find out what the great Dillstradamus thinks about the release of GBG, because I can't remember if he said anything in Angry Chicken or not. But again, like, if you want to hear us get way, and I know that we've been talking about this for probably like 15 minutes now, but if you guys want to see us get way into GBG, then the Angry Chicken is the place to go. We're also doing a show on Monday night where we're going to go into it even more now that we've got some more card releases. And that's another thing that you should do. They've been tweeting out a website. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but basically every day they're kind of taking votes of what the community wants to see, what the next card reveal is going to be. So if you haven't been voting, you guys should go check them out on Twitter. They're at Play Hearthstone. And yeah, go vote and see all the new card releases, because we've been getting a kind of steady flow of information ever since BlizzCon. So it's so funny because they've literally given us so much news that we're not going to run out of things to talk about for like 3 months. We're trying to figure out how exactly we're going to deal with 120 cards, because for Nax, when we had 30, we did, you know, 5 reviews a week sort of thing. We're just like, oh my god, 120. We're going to be talking about them all the way through until the next expansion.
Well, there you go. They're probably like, well, we need these guys around. We need to give them. Not that you had ever had an issue like finding something to talk about, right? Even when there was nothing going on.
Yeah.
Like, even like if you look at the instance, even with the instance in World of Warcraft, like every week isn't a news buster, right? So, I mean, this week is certainly, but no, that's great. I'm glad.
So, speaking of ridiculous news, Warlords of Draenor.
It's
Ryan can't spell.
It's the porn version, to be honest. Don't look that up. That's not true at all.
No.
Just don't Google Warlords, because I just have a feeling.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Anyways, we have been playing Warlords, which came out on Thursday. I was only able to get in Thursday night for about an hour, so I got up to level 91, got my garrison, but had all of the issues with the queues and not being able to get back in the garrison once you got out of it. Mm-hmm. It's pretty intense. We streamed it Thursday night as part of game night, and when we got booted out, we were actually watching a live map of the DDoS attack, and... it's incredible. I don't understand people. Like, why can't you just let people have fun? Like, I mean, everyone's complaining that Blizzard wasn't ready and that this launch was so not smooth. And I'm just like, man, oh man, but they're getting attacked constantly. Like, this isn't just a ton of people trying to log in. There is that. There is a huge demand for Warlords right now. But it's not just people being unable to log in because other players are causing the problems. Like, they're getting constantly attacked. And I just wanted to give a really quick shout out before we get into what we like and what we don't like about Warlords. I wanted to give a really quick shout out to the devs and to the CMs, because honestly, they have been so involved with everyone on Twitter and, you know, just getting the information out there, telling us, you know, like keeping everybody up to date, like literally up to the minute stuff is coming out on Twitter, in the forums, and they're investigating every bug report, everything that we're seeing, they're looking into, and it's just, they have been amazing. Mm-hmm. So I just really wanted to give them their due, because the Blizzard team has been fantastic. So everyone, remember to be nice to your CMs, to be nice to your devs. Mm-hmm. They've had a really rough go the last couple of days. So I don't know. Like I said, I was only able to get in for an hour. But Ryan, you said you'd had more luck. Are you? You're on Earthen Ring, right?
Yes, I'm on Earthen Ring, and I've been playing a lot, and I've hit 91 as well. Garrison is up and running. I've got my barracks. I don't know. I suck with that
barracks.
Word. Barracks. Thank you. I got my barracks. I got my Barack's Obamas.
Barack's.
It's filled with awesomeness. I don't know. it's really good, and I haven't had much queues, but I did. You know, you hit a queue every once in a while. Earthen Ring, which I thought was more populated, but I guess isn't a high pop server. Am I wrong? Or?
Earthen Ring usually is medium-ish.
Yeah, I was going to say.
AIE has a really big horde presence. I think AIE itself is up to 6,000-something before the Warlords. Like, before Warlords came out, that's what our guild numbers were, give or take. Mm-hmm. So they've had a huge, huge influx of applications since Warlords came out. So I'm not sure what our numbers are at now, but we are up to 12 co-guilds. And there's, I believe, 1,000-player limit on guilds. So
I still am not in the guild. I should probably look
and
into
I'm
that.
And I'm still going to give you shit about that.
Well, how do I do? How do I get in? Do I just bug somebody?
I'll have to send you the link. You have to put in an application, and then you have to...
I think I could skip that process at this point. Come on, people. I'm in their mumble or whatever.
You have... had Merpan in AIE before, right?
Yes.
So then you just have to join the chat and ask an officer for an invite, and I will tell you how to do that when we are not on the air.
I'll figure it out. I think the last time I played World of Warcraft was after our Tripster episode.
Oh, man. Yeah. Jeez, that was forever ago. That was literally 100 episodes ago. I'm pretty sure he was on episode 43 or 44. We're now on episode 144. So
I can still remember how creepy he got about Cortana.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Yes.
And how much you hated Halo 4, but I digress.
Yeah.
Yeah. Warlords. There are 4 Warlords. No.
Can we talk about when you actually meet the Warlords for the first time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because holy crap, that was amazing. I was actually on Skype with Garrett and Ben from A-Move Radio, and they were like way, way ahead of me, and I was just kind of like just hanging out just because, you know, Garrett and I spent a ton of time together at BlizzCon. We had a great time, as we always do. Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of, you know, we missed each other. You know, he's my bro. It was cool. So we were just hanging out. And so every single time you meet a new Warlord, there's this cool like zoom in, like cinematic, like... maybe Street Fighter, is that?
It reminds me of the way they introduce Smash Brothers characters in the trailers. Which probably doesn't help you, but I'm sure you might have... There's a lot of examples probably, but that's what it reminded me of, where it goes slow-mo and the title sort of... You know what it is? Borderlands. That's probably the best way to put it.
Ooh, Borderlands. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Yeah.
That's a little more mainstream, or at least more relevant to our audience. But... yeah, where it kind of slows down and the title comes in from the side. And the presentation that they've done with Warlords is in the present day, whereas a lot of these older MMOs will just add content rather than try to keep up with the current trends. And I think that presentation layer that they've added to this with, you know, more cutscenes, more VO, and I know with Myst they did that. And they tried to go a little more visual, but it's really nice to see that Warlords has these like little new flares. Like Blizzard is still trying, you know, and not just half-assing a content expansion. Like what I've never played EverQuest, but I see they keep launching these expansions, and every time I take a look at them, it just looks like more of the same as opposed to, you know, this.
That's kind of the thing, is this feels new. This feels like WoW 2.
It doesn't feel like a 10-year-old game, mm-hmm. even though it is. And I've been playing it since it came out, on and off. And it's really latched onto me just because of the story and the characters we're experiencing, like all Warcraft 2 type stuff that we're getting here, even like pre-Warcraft. Like, they haven't even gone through the Dark Portal yet, or well, I guess they skipped the part where they drank the weird Mountain Dew, but...
well, that's the thing, right? Yeah, they don't actually drink the blood in this one, and it's really cool to see all of the brown orcs instead of that, like, bright green stuff going on.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a really, really cool experience, and every single time they introduced a new warlord or a new character or whatever, I was like, oh, it's Nurzul!
Yeah.
It's Gul'dan! Oh my god! And I was like freaking out on Skype, and Garrett's just like, oh my god, you're so lame. And I'm like, just so you know, I'm going to do that every single time. And sure enough, like every single new warlord that I came across, I was just like, because it's so exciting and they've done such a good job. And I mean, I know I've said it 18,000 times, but seriously, guys, if you have not read Rise of the Horde, like, you need to read Rise of the Horde before you go and play in Warlords, because... Well. It gives you so much insight. It's the original story of what happened when they drank the demon blood. So you need that background. Like, you need all of that. And it just makes me appreciate what's going on so much more because I know what happened the first time through. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it, obviously, Warcraft 3 was the end of that story, right? That's the one where they kill Mannoroth?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So that's kind of like the end of... That whole story arc ends in Warcraft 3. So, I mean, you either need to play Warcraft 2 and Warcraft 3, or you need to read Rise of the Horde, or preferably both, but, you know, like...
Just read them all.
Time's a factor, guys. The expansion's already out, so...
What you need to do is you need to buy the amazing soundtrack, buy all the books, and then listen to the soundtrack while reading the books while you're away from your computer. And then build some sort of remote desktop system so you can log in from your phone to check your garrisons. And, yeah, just, you know.
Profit.
Well, no. If anything.
Yeah.
No profit. If anything, you're going to lose money.
Yeah, but it's all good.
No, well, it's for the greater good, right? I'm just super stoked that I'm actually, like, I've got Assassin's Creed Unity on my, because I got a new graphics card and something, like, last week. And it came with a free game, which was Assassin's Creed Unity, which probably wasn't the best choice considering my other options, but if you've seen the reviews. But I just love the Assassin's Creed franchise. But I'm still in the intro where you're not an assassin yet. But all I want to do is go back and log into WoW and, like, check my garrison. And
yeah.
There's one thing about the garrison that I wish you could do, and I wish that it was there was more to do in it. I feel like I'm just starting out.
Well, you are. Like, yeah. Eventually you'll get more followers, you'll have more buildings, and there will be more things to do. And I really get the feeling, like, at some point, when you have a fully leveled, fully stocked garrison, you're going to be able to just do that. Because right now, we've got, like, half-hour missions, and I feel like, eventually, we're going to have enough to do over that half hour that it's just going to kind of cycle back again. And then once you're done setting everything up, then your first mission is going to be done. And then you're going to kind of go back and do everything again. So I'm excited. I want to do more. I wasn't able to get in until literally like right before the show. And I was like, oh, man, I finally got in. I can finally go in and end my garrison missions and start the new ones. And I'm just like, oh. Now I have to go. I have to log out and do the show, and I'm just like, oh, now I'm gonna have a big queue again.
Well, I have a 10-hour mission. I gotta check at 3 a.m, so we're gonna be playing WoW.
Oh, so they do have different mission lengths and stuff because the first two missions that I've got are both half hours.
There's like half hour, 45 minutes, an hour and a half, and the best part about your followers is that it's not like the Pokemon game they put in. You're gaining followers by doing quests which are within. You know, your normal progression of the content. And
you don't have to go out of your way.
Yeah, like, and it's great because you're like, whereas normally you're earning gear that you're going to replace like 10 quests down the line, you're getting a follower that you're going to add to your list, your missions and whatnot, and then you're going to level them up, gain rewards. And I think that each expansion will add on to the garrison in a meaningful way. Mm-hmm. And those followers you'll be able to carry with you, like, as far as your character goes. Now, Are the garrisons account bound? Like, are you can? Is it like Pokemon where you can sort of?
You know, I'm actually not sure. I'm fairly certain that each character that you have gets their own garrison, but I'm not positive. That's a good question. I doubt it. Trying to avoid everything I possibly can that has to do with spoilers for Warlords. I played in the alpha, but everything was still really, really rough, I guess, is a good, because I did enjoy that experience because it really gave you kind of like a window into the background of what they're doing here and how you actually build a video game. So it was a really cool peek behind the curtain, but I didn't do very much into, is it Tanan Jungle or something? Whatever that first starting zone is right when you go through the portal. I didn't actually leave that like kind of little starting pyramid thing that the portal is on top of.
Sure.
Because I didn't want spoilers. So I was just kind of messing around, trying out my rotation on all of the orcs that are there and all that kind of stuff. So, and Josh is confirming in the chat room that each alt actually does have their own garrison. So that's what I thought. But I thought there was some kind of crossover, like maybe once you unlock a building on one, it's available to all or something like that. Anyways, like I said, I've been avoiding spoilers. I didn't play it all in the beta. I stopped after alpha. So I'm really going into it with just fresh eyes. And I'm going through really slowly. I'm reading all the quest text. And I do really strongly believe that everyone should play like that. I know some people are kind of racing through and don't care about story and want to get to 100 as soon as possible. Yeah. That's awesome. But for anyone even remotely interested in story, read all the quest text because they do a really good job of explaining what's going on. And that's something that I think that they have missed in the past. Mm-hmm. But this is very much like, here's what's happening. Here's who these people are. This is what you need to know and go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know I missed out on Miss in terms of this, like all of the story, except for maybe like the beginning and the end. So I can't really comment on past expansions, but with this expansion, it really feels like they're so excited about the story they're trying to tell that they've put, like, they haven't just, you know, put effort into, like, just the major quests that end, like, a content or, like, a storyline. They've put effort into every single quest they have you doing, and it's in a linear fashion, like, taking you from one sort of location to the next as you, like, follow your band of heroes on their journey. And
that's the other thing that I really loved about the jungle was that your quest givers and the people you were returning your quest to moved with you. So you never really felt like you were going back to a hub. I found that they went back to the whole hub idea a little bit more in the next zone, which I can't Frostfire Ridge, I think.
Frost Ridge Cliff, or I don't know.
Yeah, something. Anyways. The place where your garrison is, because your garrison kind of becomes your central hub and you don't move too far away from that. At least I haven't so far. And so there was a little bit of like back and forth and back and forth. But I mean, I've pretty much tried everything. I've done a little bit of archaeology. I've done a little bit of cooking, some fishing. You know, like I tried out my professions. I just I did some pet battles. And man, it's just it's so much fun. It's like everything that I really, really enjoyed from like Miss has been brought forward, and all of the stuff that I didn't enjoy has been dropped, and overall the experience in Warlords has just been phenomenal. And then they've added this cool thing with garrisons, and even though I've only had a very short amount of time because of the queues, I really can't wait to get in and play more. And Dills and I are leveling trolls together, so he's playing a mage, I'm playing a druid. We're at like level 20 now, and we're pretty much leveling just doing PvP. And I am so, so stoked to try out PvP in Warlords. Like, the idea that I don't have to have more than one set of gear, I'm just like, oh, man, like, yes.
Awesome. Yeah, so. I'm looking for. I haven't played any PvP in WoW since, like, college.
Oh, man. It's been a long time. It's so much fun. Cool. So before we move on, we've pretty much talked all about BlizzCon. There's a couple more things that I want to cover about some of the games that I didn't actually get hands-on with. But you have in the notes that there was a sad day in the Murphy household. What's going on?
All right. Well, gaming resident. I didn't want to make it seem too down. Like, it's not anything like... Oh, poor Ryan. We had a
every episode there's a poor Ryan moment.
I know. But no, there was a power surge in our neighborhood like on Halloween. So it like that wasn't the reason we didn't have a show, but it might have well been because we almost had no power all night. Not only did our furnace die, which I was like, all right, we'll replace it, whatever. But the other day, I go to turn on my Xbox, and it didn't turn on. And I was more upset about the Xbox being basically dead, I think. And I was trying to think of what I needed to do. And I'm like, here was my conundrum before I actually looked into it. I'm going to try a new power supply for it before I start getting all crazy. But the predicament I was having is, do I go out and buy a new 360 to replace that one if it is dead, so I can continue to play my older games, keep my saves alive? Or do I take this opportunity to throw away the shackles of the previous generation, games, saves, and all, and get an Xbox One, which has no backwards compatibility? Like, at best, I'll be able to buy the Master Chief Collection to have those Halo games. But, as evidenced by... Yeah, what do you think?
Oh, man. Dude.
It's a tough call, eh?
I feel like you shouldn't waste money on a brand new 360. Mm-hmm. That seems crazy. Only because it's last generation.
I know.
But.
Yeah.
Man. On all your save games, we'd never be able to play Mass Effect 3 together again.
Yeah. It's a tough... Like, and I was looking around, and I was pricing it out the best... Yes, look at the chat room. They're like, 108 maps, Halo, do it. But that's just like four games that have like... And that's not even going into the fact that, like Jocelyn said, save games, Mass Effect 3. Mass Effect 3 is what's stuck in the drive right now.
I'm so glad that waited until after Extra Life to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I was feeling very relieved because the Surge Protector... I have a Surge Protector for all my entertainment stuff and a Surge Protector in the office. Both of them were shot. So whatever happened, it voided the surge protectiness of... Now it's just a power bar, a really expensive power bar.
Jeez.
So now I've got replacements. I'm going to fix that tomorrow. But I'm just glad that like my PC didn't go, my PS4, my Wii. I would have been really upset.
Could have been so bad.
Well,
basically, whatever it was, hit the Xbox, killed the Xbox, and then... Yeah.
I think it's because the Xbox is probably older. Like, at this point, that unit's, like, 6 years old. But, yeah, like, my predicament is, like...
Could have been first thing on the circuit, too.
Maybe, yeah. There was a lot on the circuit, which probably didn't help, but... which is why I bought a surge protector with more outlets. But my issue is, like, the best I can do for 360... And a lot of people are suggesting to get used, but I don't like buying used consoles because... Mm.
You never know what you're going to get.
That doesn't...
It's like a box of chocolates.
Well, except box of chocolates are delicious, and a used Xbox could have come from maybe at best a smoking household or something. I don't know. Or like someone... I don't know. Well, let's not go there. But I don't know. Like, I was thinking... I just don't like buying used consoles because you don't know what their lifespan is going to be. At least if you buy a new one, you know, you're...
How much is a new Xbox if you were to go? Because obviously you don't have to buy any accessories because you already have everything you need. Do you have a hard drive?
Well, that's the issue. Is I have an old Xbox 360, and you can only buy new Xbox 360s. So not only would I have to buy that, and then I would have to transfer all my data from the old hard drive, which means I would need to get an Xbox with a 120 gigabyte hard drive or more. And I priced it out. Costco has them for $200.
Yeah, so basically for $200, you could get all your old save games back. Mm-hmm. Or for $400, you could just get an Xbox One.
But see, this is where it gets
I mean, really, if you're not going to get your save games back anyway, why buy an Xbox One? Why bother?
Exactly. At this point, it's...
PlayStation it up, dude.
See, that's the issue, is that I had this conversation in front of my wife, who is like analyzing everything I'm saying, because I just bought a new video card. I should not be talking about buying a new console. And she's like, well, she said exactly that. She's like, well, the Xbox One doesn't solve the issue. And
I'm right, like, exactly.
I spoke too much. I would love an Xbox One, but I don't have enough time to play my PC games.
Yeah, you've got all your PC stuff, which you just admitted you bought the new video card for.
Did.
You've got all of your PS4 stuff. You've got your Wii U. Like, dude, you don't need an Xbox One.
And I'm not buying an Xbox One. Josh, I know you're crying silently in the chat room, and a couple others are, but it doesn't solve the issue. And
I'm really, really hoping that either on Black Friday or Boxing Day, there is some like super sweet deal that's going to let me get like a 60-inch TV and a PS4. So get on that, Best Buy. Get on that.
What? Okay, that's a good thing to talk about, because Black Friday's coming up. Canada likes to get in on it. Like, what is the deal you need for a PS4? So I can keep an eye out. Because you getting a PS4 is beneficial to me and other PS4 gamers, like Garrett, who are... Yes. We're just waiting. When's Justin going to join in the madness?
Yeah, it's basically... And I mean, okay, so Naraku, I guess, in the chat room is saying first world problems. And it's very, very true. Yeah. This is so first world problems.
Well, we do...
We have too many games. Oh, no.
Well, I never really understood that like argument. It's funny, don't get me wrong. Oh, first world problems. It's like, yeah, but we're just having a conversation of what am I? I can't address that without getting in trouble.
So basically, for me, I just need something really, a bundle is what I'm looking for.
Sure.
When I drop money on a console, I don't want to have to go then buy extra controllers. I don't want to go buy games. Like, I want to be able to basically take the box home, open it up, sit down in front of my TV, and play. So I would need to see a game that I really want to play bundled with the console. That's basically what I'm waiting for.
Okay. I was at Costco today. I don't know if you have a Costco membership or whatever, but... I'll say it anyways.
My mom does, though. So if it's a Boxing Day thing, I can go with her and get it.
They had a PS4, two controllers, and the re-release of Last of Us, which is a fantastic game.
That's fantastic.
$400? That seems low.
Yeah.
Because the normal console is $400. It might have been $500. Which seems high.
Exactly. Then this is kind of my dilemma, is it's still $400, and I feel like I could do so much more with that. I mean, like, I'm such a huge sports fan. Like, I love the Leafs, obviously. Leafs, yay. I love the Colts. I love the Broncos. Like, I just, I love, love, love watching live sports. So I feel like the next thing that I dump $400, $500, $600 into, or however much it costs me, should be a TV that I can use and enjoy all of my sports on. So I don't even know if I'm going to get a console. Like, my PC is just such a workhorse. Like, it's amazing. It plays everything. So as long as all these cool titles are still cross-platform and are available for me to play on the PC, I'm just like, why would I spend money on a console? There's still not, for at least for me, a compelling argument for dropping $400 or more on a console and the associated accessories and games and stuff like that. So
yeah, it's a tough call.
I'm not a huge Halo person, so the Xbox One is just, it's not enough. And I can't really think of an exclusive on the PlayStation that just makes me go like, yes, I need to do that. Because the other thing is, too, it's not even just of whether PlayStation or Xbox puts out good exclusives. They have to put out good exclusives that I want to have to play. And right now, what's competing for that time is Warlords, is Goblins versus Gnomes, will be within the next month. Smite, which I just love the shit out of. And very, very soon, we're going to have Overwatch. You know, I can't wait to sink my teeth into Call of Duty, and I can do that on my PC. So it's not even just that the exclusive has to be good. It's that they really have to pull me away from all of these other time sinks. And every single time I hit a game where I'm kind of like, oh, maybe it's that one, I'm just like, oh, but I have all this other stuff and I don't have to drop hundreds of dollars to move into that space. So, yeah, it's kind of...
It depends. Like, if you're not finding the value in it, then, like, there's no reason to do it. Because if you're not happy, that's not good. You know, for me, like, take the Wii U as an example, or even the PS4, like... There was no reason to buy that thing at launch. It was an investment into what I know is something I'm going to play for many years to come.
Exactly. It's going to be a good investment in the long run. I find, even if you look at the Xbox, you know, we had the Xbox, then the Xbox 360, then the Xbox 360 Slim. Mm-hmm. And I just find, like, by the time the kind of game ecosystem of these next-gen consoles is rich enough to pull me away from the PC, they're probably going to come out with new hardware, you know? We're probably going to be looking at, like, the Xbox One...
0.2
Ultra, or you know, whatever.
Yeah, something that makes it sound new. Or
yes,
and that's
an actual redesign. It's going to have, you know, faster processors or bigger hard drives or, you know, whatever it is that makes it cooler than the original Xbox One. But I just feel like it's the same sort of idea as the iPhones. Mm-hmm. You know, like I very, very rarely got on board with, like, I didn't get on board with, like, the 3G. I got the 3GS and then, you know, not the 4, the 4S. And then now, like, I do have a 5, but that's because my previous phone just died and the 5S wasn't out yet. So, you know, like, I just, the first iteration of something is not generally what I jump on. I usually go for the second iteration because that's when they fix all the problems. So as much as I think early adoption is really important to make sure that all of these things keep going forward and keep having more iterations, from an actual consumer standpoint, I'm much more of a sit back and wait, see what they come up with a couple of years later, and then jump on the really expensive hardware. So, wow, we were talking about that for a really, really long time. We're already at an hour of our show, and we haven't even talked about the majority of BlizzCon. I feel like we might even need to do, like, a part one and a part two, because, like, otherwise we're going to run into, like, a two-hour show here. So, I don't know, dude. What do you want to do? Chat room, what do you want to do? Do you want us to keep going? Do you want to hear about StarCraft? Because, seriously, Legacy of the Void, bitches!
That trailer was fantastic.
I'm going to give the chat room a little while to catch up, and we'll just see what we want to do. Ryan, do you have any plans for later on tonight, or other than Warlords?
I don't know. I might boot up. I would need to get a Smite game in or something, I think. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. Josh and I played Smite for a really long time last night. It was awesome.
I really want to play Warlords. I want to get into Unity again so I can, like, do the weird companion app thing where you do your missions on your phone rather than in the game. I've played more of that than I've actually played Unity. I have, but I've been away from my computer. But
I really, really wish that there was some sort of app for Warlords. And I mean, I don't think they're actually going to do it because I think they really want you to actually go and log in. But I feel like, I don't know. Did you listen to the, it was the Instance episode where Scott did the interview. What's his name?
It's not Metzen.
No, he's Mumper.
He's the Nintendo guy. He likes Nintendo. Chris something?
Man. Yeah, I feel like it's Chris something, but then I'm thinking Metzen, and that's...
You're right. That's a good point.
Yeah. Mumper? Anyways, he's Mumper on Twitter, and that's like his
All right, we're going to fix this right now. I have Twitter.
Anyways, Scott's interview with him, he was talking about basically why they haven't put pet battles on to the whole iPad, iPhone interface sort of thing. And I found it really, really interesting where they were just like, no, it's the whole exploration, and they want you to go back to all the zones and find all the critters and do all the pet battles, because it puts you on the ground in places you probably haven't been for a really long time. And they want you in the game, enjoying the game, not just grinding. And I found that was a really, really compelling and interesting argument, is that, you know, like, we could make these things portable. We have experience now with Hearthstone, but why would we do that when the experience is so much richer when you're sitting in front of your computer and being pulled into the game? So
there's no reason for them to do it. And some would argue that, well, Blizzard, that's just you being selfish. I want to be able to do it on the road. But then that becomes an argument of, like, well, is it really that hard to log in? Like, I don't know. I would like an app, because then I could do it. No matter, I could continue to play WoW when I'm not at my computer.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, like, with pet battles, with garrisons, I would do it all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think they want us to experience content, but they don't necessarily, like, if we could do it all the time, if we could pet battle all the time, if we could do garrison missions all the time, I feel like they would have to basically nerf it. So, you know, if you go from having to sit in front of your computer and only being able to, say, pet battle for an hour, we'll just call, just for the sake of ease, You know, but then all of a sudden, if you can do it from your phone or your iPad or whatever, and you have a 1 hour commute, then you can do it for the hour that you normally would on your PC. Plus, you can do it for 2 more hours during the day because you're commuting for 2 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So just right there, you're able to spend 3 hours doing something you would normally only spend 1 hour on, which to me means that they have to like take, for example, the XP and gold that you earn and mm-hmm. like split it in thirds. So, because they basically, they can't have you able to do those kind of grinds, and especially where, at least with, I can't remember if it happens with garrisons, I haven't been paying that close of attention. I know you get some sort of XP, but I don't know if that's like character XP or garrison XP. But anyways, with pet battles, you get pet XP as well as your player gets XP as well. So if I can sit there for 3 hours a day versus 1 hour a day, mm-hmm. grinding XP on my character using an app, like, they really have to take that into consideration for balance.
Yeah.
So, and if they just nerfed it into the ground like that, I don't think it would be as fun. So, I don't know. I don't think we need an app. As fun as it would be to pet battle on the go, because I loved playing Pokemon on the 3DS, and that's essentially what it would be, is just WoW Pokemon on a different device. I don't think that there's a need for that, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's the other thing too about all this is that like Blizzard has your money, you know, they have you, you know, whether you're playing on an app or playing in game. I was having this conversation today and I was like, well, they want you to keep logging in. It's like, well, why do they care? They already have your subscription money.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking about this also, like Garrisons is, like you said, a story experience. There's story there. There's mission text. There's all that kind of stuff. There's no microtransactions. There's no, you know, monetary value for Blizzard for you to keep playing it. It's just more content in the game. So when you look at what Ubisoft does with their companion apps for Assassin's Creed, where you're doing the exact same thing, you're managing your assassins, your quests, your stuff, there are real reasons why you would do that, why you would want to do it on the app, because mm-hmm. in those Assassin's Creed games, which they're getting lit up for, by doing those missions, you're avoiding the need to pay for microtransactions, you know, to say, oh, here's $10, give me a million Florence, whatever kind of credits they're using. I don't know. It's not gold. It's like...
Space bucks?
Well, yeah, sure. France used space bucks back in the French Revolution. I think that's why they were trying to revolt. They weren't a fan of the conversion rate. Anyways, so I think that's the big difference is that Ubisoft has, you know, you're trying to avoid giving them more money, so they give you more options, and then you get sick of grinding, and then they hope you give them $20, whereas with these garrison stuff, it's just story. And when you remove yourself from where they have complete control over presentation and put you on like a little dinky screen, you're losing Blizzard's most important thing about their games, which is story, right? Mm-hmm. And experience and having fun. And then there's no plus for them to put it on an app. If anything, true. It's only minus. You know, because they're spending more time and money on building something for you when you could just log in and play it the way it was meant to be played. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. It would be awesome, but I'm not kicking down doors for it.
Yeah. Just before we move on, the chat room has said that they want us to keep going, so we're going to keep going. As far as I know, Amove doesn't need this stream for anything. There's probably Garrett sitting there playing Warlords or Heroes being like, I want to stream, damn it.
Yeah.
But nah, he'll text me. Anyway, so we are going to keep going. But before we do, I just wanted to remind everyone that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our fabulous sponsor, Doghouse Systems. I actually got to hang out with Kim for a little while at BlizzCon, and she is freaking awesome. So if you guys are in the market for a new computer, really check out Doghouse Systems. They are fantastic. They have great customer support, and just everyone that works there is so amazing. So check out Doghouse Systems. If you do decide that you want a new PC, you should use the code TheGamersIn. That will double your RAM. And then, so to get one of those, you need to head on over to DoghouseSystems.com. and get your order on. I think they also have some deals going on with some Black Friday stuff. So once I get all those details, which are probably sitting in my email right now, I have a vague memory of reading it, which probably means I read it at like 4 o'clock in the morning when I was really drunk at BlizzCon. So I'm going to have to go find all those details and we will get them to you as soon as possible. But again, that is doghousesystems.com and the code is thegamersin. So we're going to talk really, really quickly about what else I saw at BlizzCon, which for me, it was the most awesome, most exciting thing that I spent zero time doing. So
it was a thing. It was there. You saw the trailer. You're gone.
Yeah, exactly. StarCraft II has been, I named Heart of the Swarm my game of the year last year. I love StarCraft II. I think the story that Blizzard tells in the StarCraft universe is just, it's mind-blowingly amazing. I know that RTSs are not necessarily everyone's cup of tea, but I very, 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 very strongly recommend that you pick up StarCraft II, that you play through the single-player campaign. It's challenging, but it's not overly complicated. There's some really cool stuff that you can do on the lower difficulties. There's really interesting units, but the story and the cutscenes and the dialogue is just so good. It's probably the best story that I've experienced since the Mass Effect storylines. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because I'm such a fantasy person. I'm really into like RP and wizards and all the rest of it. But for whatever reason, the best stories I find are coming out of sci-fi lately. So you should all go check out StarCraft II. And basically what happened last year at BlizzCon is we heard nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing whatsoever.
It was scary.
Yeah, not the entire StarCraft II team, but a big majority of the StarCraft people moved over to start working on Heroes of the Storm. Heroes of the Storm, really, 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 really fun. I'm getting way more into Heroes of the Storm, probably in the last, like, month. It's really, really fun. If you guys aren't in the beta, that really sucks because it's a lot of fun. But once we get a release on that, Ryan, sorry. Once we get a release on that, you guys should jump into it because it's great. But really, with the StarCraft team moving over there, we had no Legacy of the Void news. And for those of you that don't know, there is Wings of Liberty, which is part one of the trilogy. It's the Terran campaign. The Terrans are basically the humans, the Marines. It's very mech-ish. And then we had Heart of the Swarm, which was the Zerg campaign, which was the expansion to Wings of Liberty, the second part of the trilogy. And it really focused on Kerrigan and her story. And then Legacy of the Void is the final chapter, is where they're going to wrap up the whole story. And it's just so good. It's going to be so good. Mm-hmm. It's the Protoss, which I find are the most interesting of the three. I'm not a huge fan of the Zerg. Heart of the Swarm had a fantastic story, but the Zerg is my least favorite race out of the three. I think the humans have a really cool kind of backstory, and the Protoss are just so cool and so interesting, and all the stuff that they have with the whole psionics, and it's like magic, but electricity at the same time, and it's mind-blowingly awesome. Mm-hmm. To get zero news about Legacy of the Void last year was frightening. It really made it feel like StarCraft was going on the back burner. But this year, that trailer, can we please, like, Ryan, when you watched that, did you not have, like, a nerdgasm? Just being like, I spent my life for ire. I was like, ha, oh, yeah. That's amazing. I want that right now.
I've been waiting for StarCraft. Like, when it comes to StarCraft, like, as soon as we finish Heart of the Swarm, it's like, am I a bad person if I ask for Legacy of the Void information right now? Because I kind of feel like I'm a bad person. And now we're 2 years later and we're seeing this trailer and it's like, am I a bad person to ask if this is coming out in 2015 or no? Okay. We're probably going to see it in 2016.
Well, that's the thing. We did not get any kind of dates tied to that. I would think we're probably looking at a 2016 release because everything else, including Overwatch, which is a brand new announcement. Like, we knew Legacy of the Void was coming. We had a name for it. Everything else, we knew it was going to be the Protoss expansion of StarCraft II, and we still didn't get a date. Overwatch, totally new IP, totally new kind of like game style. And yet we have a 2015 date on Overwatch. So I feel like we're looking at 2016 at least, and they didn't really want to tell us that. They just wanted to get us super stoked for StarCraft. So,
yeah, I really think that when Legacy of the Void comes out, we're going to be playing some of Blizzard's best work when it comes to RTSs.
Yeah, it looks really, really interesting. Basically, the only thing that they said last year was that they were having trouble balancing the Protoss, because the Protoss are an alien race. They have this whole psionic thing. They're supposed to feel extraordinarily powerful because they've essentially spent the majority of their existence fighting against what they see as the blight of the galaxy, which is the Zerg. And they're supposed to feel really strong. They're supposed to feel like they can come into a Zerg-infested planet and wipe it clean and move on to the rest. And in order to keep everything balanced, they were having a lot of trouble with keeping that feeling while making it specifically multiplayer feel balanced, you know? Because you can't just have a multiplayer thing where you're going and you have one race that just wipes out everybody else, you know? Like, it just, you can't do that. So for them to come out and say that they're having problems with that and making it feel like it's supposed to feel while keeping it balanced, I was just like, oh man, like, we are so far away from seeing anything from them. Mm-hmm. So then this year, to get that trailer, Legacy of the Void was actually playable at BlizzCon. They had two story missions that you could sit down and you could play through. I didn't get my hands on it. Garrett did. So if you guys are fans of StarCast, which is also on the AMOVE network, good news, because they did a special Legacy of the Void episode. They have been on hiatus since pretty much Heroes of the Storm launched. So if you guys really want to hear a lot about StarCraft, go check out StarCast. It's with Garrett, Kyle, and is Ben? Yeah, Garrett, Kyle, and Ben, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so Garrett, Kyle, and Ben are going to just totally dive into all of the cool StarCraft stuff. And, oh, man, dude, I really wanted to get my hands on it. Oh. I really wanted to watch the finals. We talked about it. Was it off the top of the show, or was it when we were talking beforehand? I can't remember, but the StarCraft II stage,
oh yeah,
was like a freaking rock concert. It was unbelievable. Like, we walked in, because basically the first day Dills and I just kind of like walked around and got a feel for like where stuff was and everything else right after the opening ceremonies. And we literally, like, there's all these like banners lining the hallway with like pictures of all of the players, and we're just like, oh man, this is pretty cool. And then there's this little like double doors, like fire doors, into the arena, and it was called the arena, and we were just kind of like, oh, this is really cool. And but these two little double doors that don't really look very, you know, obvious or flashy or anything else, you open them up and it's just like StarCraft. Mm-hmm. And there were seats all in the, it was pretty much the size of like I was gonna say a hockey arena, but it was even bigger than that. But there was like all these kind of like chairs all on the big flat kind of presentation floor. Mm-hmm. There was a freaking like runway down the middle that like the announcers were walking down and the players were standing on. So the stage is huge. There's this big, huge like StarCraft. There's like three screens, and the players were actually like sitting up in where the screens were. Like, it's just like amazingly huge. Then there was a whole upper bowl of seats, plus there was like the lower bowl of seats, and it's like, I don't know how many people fit in there, but it had to be around, I don't know, 15,000 to 20,000 worth of seats. Like, it was huge. Wow. And I'm just like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow, like, this is literally a sports venue for video games. Like, just, these guys are freaking rock stars for pushing buttons on a keyboard, and I'm not trying to belittle that in any way, because I really, really, truly feel that they are rock stars. Like, the amount of time and attention to detail and just intellect that goes into these players that can play Hearthstone too, but specifically StarCraft at that level of play is just mind-blowing, and they should be treated like rock stars. But to actually see it happening was like, yeah, that was my brain exploding. So everybody knows.
I'm looking forward to watching some of those matches and stuff. I haven't seen any of the esports stuff, but the craftsmanship they put into those stages, like, they take this very seriously, and not just in the way they design their games, but also in the way they present these events. Like, I see more effort put into those stages and venues than you see put into, you know, rock concerts and actual sporting events.
Yeah.
Like, you see, like, poker being played on TSN or whatever, and it's literally just a boring-ass poker table with some lighting in the background, you know? And oh, they say, man, that's sports. I mean, like, if that's sporting, then why can't this be sporting? Like,
yeah, the Hearthstone stage and the StarCraft stage were so intense. Like, the players were in these, like, little literal glass bubbles.
Yeah. I saw that.
Yeah, it was a little bit, like, when I first walked up, I was like, well, clearly they can't have them able to hear anything the crowd is saying. And I was just like, man, oh man, that must be so intense. You're literally in a glass room while you're playing this game, knowing that there are, like, I mean, at one point, the Hearthstone stream was up to something like 120 or 130,000 people watching on Twitch.
Wow.
Plus the, like, 1,000 people that were watching at BlizzCon. Like, man, oh man, the pressure.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it looked like giant sneeze guards. And, like, I guess you wouldn't want, like, that residue distracting you.
Oh, so absolutely.
It's important to have sneeze guards. But, it was really well done.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was amazing. So if you guys are wondering what was going on in StarCraft Legacy of the Void, wow.
The glass was frosted? What?
Yeah.
Is he joking? Well,
I this is the thing, I don't really know, because they didn't look up at each other too often, which is something I would have been doing the whole time. I would have been like, okay, I'm going to move this card and go. And then I'm going to move this card and, oh, are you cringing? I have my cursor over your one dude versus the other dude. Like, when are you flinching? Like, I would have been watching it and they weren't. They were just, like, fully intent on their, like, keyboards on their screens the whole time. They weren't watching each other too much, and I was just like, weird. But they also weren't looking at the crowd. So they had, like, they did have frosted things that kind of went around behind the players and wrapped around to the side where the crowd was. But I don't know what it looked like from the inside. From the outside looking in, the glass looked clear, because that's one of the things that we were talking about, is as we're watching, I'm just like, why aren't they looking at the crowd? Because the crowd's reacting to things like the card that gets pulled, you know? So everyone knows, based on the board state, what the card is that player needs. And specifically in the finals, like, Firebat was just like top deck, top deck, top deck, everything that he needed. It was the most ridiculous luck I have ever seen in a card game of my life. And the crowd is going freaking insane. They had those, like, inflatable things, the inflatable noisemakers. They're, like, 2.5 to 3 feet long inflatable tubes that you bash together.
Sure.
Okay. And you've clearly never been to a sporting event. They're a thing.
So, they like, you hammer them together. And they
yeah,
make, like,
yeah,
a
you dung, bash dung, them together. Dung, yeah, dung, like.
Dung, dung,
so,
dung.
I would say probably one out of every 3 or 4 people had those.
Oh.
So he was pulling these top decks, and the crowd was going insane, and all these things are flying around, and we're cheering and screaming and standing up and, like, going absolutely wild. And I'm just like, this is such a tell. Like, he needs, like, a Direwolf Alpha, and he totally pulls it, and we go insane. And if I'm the opponent, I would be looking at the crowd going, wow, they're going insane. But they didn't, so I don't know. Maybe it was frosted so that they couldn't actually see. I mean, the booth was mostly soundproof, and then they had, you know, headphones in, and then they had earphones over top of that. So it would have been extraordinarily hard, I think, to hear the crowd. Mm-hmm. But, oh, okay, so Mario 3D is saying it was kind of like two-way glass, so no one could give them hand signals. So basically, like, we could see in, but they couldn't see out. So that explains more, because I was just like, how is this even happening right now?
We'd know for sure if one of them, like, while they were waiting, turned the glass and kind of, like, tried to pick something out of their teeth or fix their hair or something. It's usually a good tell.
Yeah. So apparently so the Easter Bunny in the chat room is also saying that there are some interviews up there. So Number Guy was saying that it wasn't actually completely soundproof and they were sometimes able to hear the crowd cheer. So they must have been able to hear us in the finals, because I went to a lot of games all the way through the kind of 2 days, and the crowd was never as loud as it was during the finals. So he said that basically Number Guy said that it hinted at the card draws sometimes. So, you know, that's cool. They, I imagine, did the best that they could, but I'm telling you, it was really, really loud during those Hearthstone finals. So I don't even know if Blizzard knew how crazy it was going to get, but yeah, it was pretty nuts. Also, my first visit to Disneyland was amazing.
Yes, you went to Disneyland where everybody
you
is
can
a
actually
kid.
See like right there my Minnie ears. So we had Mickey and Minnie ears when we were walking around Disneyland and being adorable. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was so much fun. So
did you see any Star Wars stuff at Disneyland?
Oh, we saw all the things.
Oh, that's good. I've never been. It looks like a fun time. I've never been to BlizzCon either. It looks like a fun time.
Yeah, so basically I've decided that I'm never missing another BlizzCon ever for any reason in my life, ever.
Yeah, so don't plan anything first weekend of November for Jocelyn, because she will miss it.
Yeah, and it's really cool, because next year Garrett, so my co-host on Angry Chicken, and his fiance are getting married on Halloween. So I'm going to go to Florida, go to their wedding, and then go to BlizzCon right after. So it's just going to be like the most amazing like week and a half of life ever.
So they're getting married on Halloween. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, super cool, right?
Yeah. And then their honeymoon is going to be in LA.
It's going to be BlizzCon. Yeah.
You know, they might not know that yet, but it's happening.
Yep.
Or the honeymoon will be delayed like till the week after BlizzCon. They'll go to BlizzCon, then go to their honeymoon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm never missing BlizzCon ever again. Cool. It's right up there with Nerdtacular now. I mean, they're totally different feelings in terms of cons. BlizzCon is so nuts. I felt like I didn't get to see or spend a lot of time with anyone. Whereas Nerdtacular is very, it's very small, very intimate. You get to spend a lot of time with a lot of people, and it's really, really cool. But yeah, and yes, Josh, I am going to be coming to Florida next fall for Garrett's wedding.
There you go. Florida is a small state, right?
I don't know.
I think
I guess
it is.
So. But yeah, so it's up there on my must attend events. So if you get the chance, dude, next year.
Yeah, wow. We'll see.
Just wow. Like, it was really, really, really mind-blowing. So.
So what do I do if I can only afford one trip? Do I go to Nerdtacular in 2015, or do I try to go to BlizzCon in 2015? Because I'd have to choose, you know? Like, I just have...
I would say Nerdtacular because you missed it last year, but if it comes down to a one or the other thing, I would alternate years. I would do a Nerdtacular year, then a BlizzCon, and then a Nerdtacular, then a BlizzCon.
It just seems so weird. Like, BlizzCon seems so expensive, but would it be cheaper to fly to L.A.? I didn't actually look into it because I
it was
really
about
should.
The same.
Okay, I'll look into it, because I even if I could go, like I would dig the con, but I think BlizzCon is just so nerdy that would be tough for Ashley. I'd probably have to go
it would
myself.
Be, yeah, you'd have to go alone.
Yeah,
but maybe if you went alone, you could do both, but alone.
She actually really liked Nerdtacular.
I
so,
do remember she liked Nerdtacular.
Yeah, so I think, like, I don't know if she'd want me to go alone to Nerdtacular, but, like, yeah. Like, Ashley, hey, there's this two-day conference. You remember that thing that you'd always walk in and you'd see me watching and you'd say, what is this boring shit? I want to go there.
I want to go there, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to come with? No, not really. But, you know, different, what is it? Different strokes for different folks. Is that how it goes?
Something like that.
I'm not going to say that again.
I think that pretty much covers my entire BlizzCon experience. I got to meet a lot of people, a lot of community managers, a lot of devs.
Fans?
Oh my God, dude, fans. Mm-hmm. We didn't even talk about that. We did the Angry Chicken meetup, which last year they said it was basically they went bowling. Garrett and Dills were both at BlizzCon last year. I couldn't make it. But yeah, they went bowling and they had about 10 people show up and it was really cool. They had a lot of fun. This year, we walked in and everyone started cheering.
Oh my.
There were so many people there. I'm not even 100% sure that I met everybody. I hope I did. If you didn't get to meet me, I'm really, really sorry, but really seriously grow a pair, because I had so many people tweet me being like, oh, I just saw Jocelyn. She just walked by. And I'm like, then say hello. Oh. So, I mean, yeah, from now on, like, if you guys see me at BlizzCon or you see me at Nerdtacular, like, come up and say hi, please. Like, mm-hmm. I want to meet each and every one of you. So if I missed anybody, I'm really, really sorry. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the meetup was intensely, amazingly awesome. We spent so much time hanging out and talking to people at the bowling alley that we didn't actually get to bowl. We were there from like 9 o'clock until the bar literally shut down, and we didn't actually make it over to the bowling alley.
So you didn't even bowl?
No, we didn't actually bowl. We were just standing around talking, and it was awesome because we also had, we were lucky enough that the a lot of the Frog Pants people made some time to come by. So we had Patrick and Terpster and Scott and Ibbit and Nicole and Mark. Nice. Who else came by? I'm trying to think. Oh, man, it's such a blur. I was also really, really drunk. Wow. It turns out that when people like a podcast that you do, they also like to buy you drinks, which is awesome.
So you didn't even have to you didn't have to go to the bar. People are just constantly feeding you beverages of various colors and umbrella sizes. It's great.
Exactly. So I would be standing there with a beer in my hand, and people would be like, oh, I can't buy you a beer because you've already got one. So shots! And I'd be like, okay. So I really
I don't have to be up for a con in the morning or anything, guys.
Because, yeah, Thursday night, we had such a great time. The meetup was so much fun. I remember most of the meetup. And then I was under the impression that we walked back to Garrett's hotel room, hung out, talked magic for a while, and then went back to our hotel room. Not the case. Apparently we left Garrett's hotel room and went to the Hilton. I have no recollection of that. I have no recollection of walking home. Apparently we were up for a little while when we got back to our hotel room. I have no recollection of that. So, yeah, I need to just say no to shots.
So wait, you blacked out and you woke up? It's like, oh my God, my alarm's going off. Did you even set an alarm, or did you just not get to sleep? Did you miss the con? Did you miss anything?
No, I didn't miss any time at the con. And that's kind of the great thing about BlizzCon is nothing starts until like 10 or 11 a.m. So, yeah, no, we didn't miss anything.
They know gamers like to party.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. Yeah. It sounds like having only watched the virtual ticket stuff, my concern is always like, oh, it just looks like there's so many people and so crowded and so like, you know, and hearing you talk about it is like, no, it's like just a little bit bigger of a Nerdtacular. There's lots of nice people.
Well, I mean, it's you just go at your own speed. Like 750 people at Nerdtacular and 50,000 people at BlizzCon, but the venue is much, much bigger. Mm-hmm. I never felt like I was missing anything or waiting too long for anything, with the exception of the merch line. I waited 3 hours to buy my Heroes of the Storm hoodie. So there's that.
Okay.
I got lots of really cool stuff, though. I got Hearthstone that lights up. I got a Blizzard autograph book. I got a key that's also a bottle opener that looks like the key to the Hearthstone arena. What else did I get? There's, oh, my Mickey Mouse ears again. Yeah, there's lots of stuff on my shelf now, though. So, yeah, you guys, there you go.
All right, well, maybe BlizzCon is something I need to do. I have never been to LA.
The merch line is the only thing, because basically everyone's worried that they're going to sell out of everything before you actually get there, because that's what happened to Garrett last year. So we were just like, okay, well, we'll line up after the Overwatch panel, before the Hearthstone panel. We'll go get our merch. That way we know we're going to get our sizes and everything. We both really, really wanted the Heroes of the Storm hoodie. Mm-hmm. So it's the reversible one. It's black on one side with like the reflective silver logo. And then the reverse of it is like blue and purple and coolness of like all the different silhouettes of all the characters. Sure. And so it kind of looks like purple and blue camo. It's really, really cool shirt. Anyways, we both really wanted it, so we were like, okay, we're not going to miss out. We're going to go wait in line. And then it gets to the point where you're like, okay, I've already been waiting for an hour and a half. I can't leave this line. And it was 3 hours altogether that it took us to get our merch. But that was the only time that I felt like I really missed out on stuff. Mm-hmm. But in the end, like, it was worth it. So I got a light up Hearthstone plushie. Like, come on.
Cool. Well, I will have to look at 2015. Actually, I'm not even thinking about 2015 right now. The later half of 2014 has been so crazy that I'm just going to enjoy. I can't wait for Christmas. I'm so psyched for, like, the holidays now. I don't know why. Maybe because
holidays, I'm pretty stoked for that.
I feel like I missed out on Halloween because I was so busy, and like Christmas is literally around the corner, and we don't have Thanksgiving in the later half of November, so we don't have that like excuse to do it. But I'm so psyched for like some gaming time and uninterrupted holidays, and
I'm so sad that I'm only going to be home for like, I think I'm home for like 4 days. I'm literally home for like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day. And then I fly back on the 28th. So like, it's a really, really quick turnaround. Otherwise I would totally come see you guys. Cause
oh, you're coming down this way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. Just like 4 or 5 days, and 2 of those days are travel days. So,
well, my legs aren't broken. We could always come up to you.
Oh, that's true.
If that helps. I mean, I don't want to interrupt any like family stuff because you're in a different province. Like, you're first and foremost, your attention should be directed towards family. But if getting away from family is the toughest part, like, I could certainly come up that way for sure.
Cool, cool. Well, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. December is so far away. And
yeah. God, it's like 2 weeks away. Anyways, we should wrap this up because we're totally going off on tangents now.
Yeah, we're having personal conversations on the show.
No big deal. So again, I just wanted to give a quick plug to Slash Loot, who again really, really helped us out during Extra Life. They were awesome. If you do like our Gamers In Extra Life shirt, which Ryan is holding up right now, and does it look as awesome as I think it looks?
It does.
Yeah.
Look how awesome that is. Look at
that. Is amazing.
Still on the store. And I believe all sales will still go towards our Extra Life.
Oh, the Extra Life code still works. That's amazing.
Does it?
Does it? I thought so. I don't know.
Oh, maybe. I was just saying the store, it still has the shirt. Yeah, yeah. So you still have time to get your shirt. And it does look fantastic. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it went for Slash Loot, because I think we do one every year.
Yes. Yeah, I love it. So if you want to show off your TGI and your Extra Life pride, you can head on over to slashloot.com. That is slashloot.com, and grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. There's also tons of other shirts, including those from your favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, Torin Think Tank, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So again, that is slashloot.com. Don't forget to show off your podcast pride. We want to also thank our patrons, because for the month of October, we decided we were going to give all of our Patreon money to Extra Life. And so we're giving $63 to Extra Life on behalf of our wonderful patrons. So thanks a lot for being patrons of the Gamers Inn. You guys are awesome. You make Extra Life worth it every single year. I think we still haven't quite hit our goals, and donations are open until the end of November. So you can go to bit.ly/TGI2014, and that is capital T, capital G, capital I. If you want to make a donation, we're streaming all the time now. I'm streaming 2, 3, 4 times a week. So really, it's all for the kids. And I know that we've been beating you over the head with that since probably about August, but it is a really, really, really important charity to us. It means a lot. And we really try every year to reach our goal. So we're close. We're really, really close. I know I'm about $200 shy. So if you can find it, we appreciate it. So thanks very much, everybody. Specifically this week, we would like to thank Jim W. for being a patron of the Gamers Inn. Again, thanks again. If you do want to be a patron, you can go to patreon.com/thegamersinn. And you'll get to do things like tell us what games to play on game night, and weigh in on our new website and all that kind of stuff. So we want all the feedback, and the best place to do that is over on Patreon. We do have a new story, but I think we're going to save it for next week, because we are now at 1 hour and 40 minutes of our hour-long podcast. Thank you guys for sticking with it. I know you told us to keep going, but we went off on a couple of tangents there. So thank you very much for listening. You guys are awesome, especially on an off night. This isn't even our normal night, so thanks for hanging out. It is Saturday. Anything you want to talk about before we sign off the show here?
No, yeah. Just looking forward to playing some more Warlords.
All the warlords.
All the warlords.
Are we going to be streaming after this? Are we gonna play some games?
We can. Yeah. Why not?
All right.
I was just going to play games, but let's do it.
All right. Well, maybe we should like play games together and let the chat room watch. So
yeah, we're both fans of warlords. We want to get in there.
Exactly. So if you want to see us play some Warlords or possibly some Smite,
yes,
you can do so very, very shortly over on twitch.tv/thegamersin or twitch.tv/GISGamer. We will probably be streaming to both places. Mm-hmm. So we will see you guys very, very shortly. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous shows, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, The Angry Chicken, Amove Radio, and the return of StarCast.
Yeah, yeah.
I should mention that really it's not the full-on return.
It's a one-off.
It's a one-off.
It's like a reunion special where they're all just like staring at each other like really angry.
Exactly.
And then occasionally talking about StarCraft. No, they love each other.
Actually, yeah, I don't think they're back, so we should really make sure that we say that. But yeah, you should go check out the StarCast and see what they're talking about with Legacy of the Void, because they know all the StarCraft things way better than I know the StarCraft things. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can do so. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes where you can watch us being idiots can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you thought about BlizzCon, what you thought about Overwatch, and how you're enjoying Warlords, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for listening, and remember, tune in next week on our regular time on Friday, I promise.
Yay, Smash Bros. Smash Brothers comes out next Friday.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
We get to talk about Smash Brothers.
I didn't know that.
Well, now
you
know.
Oh, wait, there we go. XSplit just like totally died.
I'll try to have an amiibo for next week. Show that off.
Perfect.
Yeah, she still doesn't know what I'm talking about.